And it builds on a interactive map that they had made in 2020 that sort of listed a bunch of important cultural and nature and just hotspots within the North Shore for people to go visit. And it sort of gamifies that process of going outside and discovering parts of the North Shore. And I just thought it was really, really fascinating. And I wanted to learn more about it. And I wanted to go on a quest. So the full piece will include this questing part. But before that, I was actually able to speak with Anna Lynch, one of the directors at North Van Arts. And we spoke a bit about just what sparked the app's creation, what the reception has been like, and how it's sort of considered internally as a cultural Pokemon Go. So do with that what you will. Here is my interview with Anna Lynch in the very lively and loud shipyards of North Vancouver.
Hi, my name is Anna Lynch, and I'm the executive director for North Van Arts.
And can you give a bit of background on the, not just the North Shore Culture Quest app, but the North Shore Culture Map in general?
Yeah, so back in 2020, the North Shore Culture Compass, which is a website with an interactive map, was first published. It was a project that had been in the works for a long time beforehand. And basically the map lists cultural points of interest for all of the North Shore, so that's West Vancouver and North Vancouver. And the reason behind creating it is multiple reasons, but one of them is to support having archival collections and research around different cultural hubs and points of significance, like public art and heritage trails. But it can also be used to plan trips, find new events and places to go, and discover new cultural organizations or pieces of art. So really the website itself is twofold. When the website was launched, one of the ways to promote it, because it came out during the COVID-19 pandemic, was to create treasure hunts. And the treasure hunts were originally PDF scavenger hunts created to get people to explore different areas that were listed on the Culture Compass. Since then, we've decided to develop the treasure hunts into its own app, which is our new North Shore Culture Quest app, which gamifies finding different locations and clues so that you can learn a little bit more about the cultural history and heritage of the North Shore and find some hidden gems along the way.
What has the uptake sort of been like? You know, when I think of apps that sort of gamify the act of exploring, looking around, I think of things that got really popular quite a few years ago, like Pokemon Go and things like that. Are you seeing, I guess, similar interaction with this sort of thing?
Yeah, I think so. We've only been launched officially for a month. We had a really big uptake in the beginning. Internally, we've already been referring it to as a cultural Pokemon Go. Yeah, so it's the same kind of idea, and we're definitely getting quite a lot of downloads, not just from local residents, but from people all across Metro Vancouver who are, you know, coming across to the North Shore for the day and looking for something a little bit different to do. The plan is that we're going to release different quests each month in different locations. So we have neighborhoods listed across the North Shore to help keep it fresh and relevant and give people something to come back to each month. Some of those will be sponsored, so there'll be some prizes along the way too. Hopefully that way people don't just use it just on one-off chance, but get to use it daily to get out and about.
You said there's a quest happening here today at the shipyards. Can you go into that a little bit?
Yeah, so one of the first quests that we launched last month was called Around the Shipyards, and all the clues, there's 6 clues in and around the shipyards area, so it's great for those who are just coming across on the sea bus or getting down here by one of the local buses. And that one is going to be permanently on the app, so it can be played at any time. It takes about maximum of 30 minutes to complete, with all the clues being within about 5 minutes walk of each other, and it features lots of different types of clues. So there's letter-based clues, multiple choice, and then my personal favorite are photo clues, where you have to line up a historical photo of the North Shore, in this case the shipyards, with the same location in the current day. It's a very cool little insight in how it used to look here not that long ago.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started. So I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
All right, we are back again with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. We have about 24 minutes or so left in this hour, but I want to thank you all so much for tuning in to this hour of talk radio. And yeah, once again, that was my interview with Anna Lynch on the North Shore Culture Quest, and that was a really cool interview for me to do. The full edited version of it that includes us going on the Culture Quest will be up hopefully Thursday. Hopefully Jesse will be able to play that on his Speak Up, so stay tuned for that, because Speak Up plays Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 10 a.m. But it was a really cool piece for me to do because, you know, the North Shore, North Vancouver specifically, is actually where I was born and raised. So any chance I get to, you know, produce news that has to do with that area, I get really excited about. You know, I have my qualms with the North Shore, but when it comes to places to explore and just the amount of nature and active spaces within that area, it is really quite amazing. You know, I can just name so many off the top of my head, whether that's Deep Cove or Lynn Canyon or Lonsdale Key or Edgemont or Grouse. You know, there's just a lot of places to explore. So to sort of have this new app that kind of prioritizes that and encourages people to not just get active and walk around during the summer, but to explore so many of these areas that I grew up honestly taking for granted in a lot of ways, I think it's a really, really cool project. So I was really happy I got to do that. And I hope that you learned something from that too. If you want to explore the North Shore, download the North Shore Culture Quest. It's up on the App Store. Regardless of what App Store you use, it will be there and ready for you to use to explore the beautiful North Shore. This is not an ad. This is just me saying to get out this summer if you're able to, you know? Anyways, coming up next, I'm going to be playing another piece that I produced last week. This one on the Burnaby Pride flag raising event that had happened on early last week. And it was sort of marking a week-long celebration of Pride within the city of Burnaby, which takes place a bit before the major Pride events within the city of Vancouver. They had their Pride Festival on Saturday. I heard that was amazing. So here is that piece for all of you. I think the reason I want to play it is because, not just because it's a piece about, you know, something that is, should be celebrated and talked about, but because of the voices and the specific perspectives that are shared within this piece, I think are worth repeating. So here is that for all of you. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. On July 21st, local 2S LGBTQIA+ advocacy group Burnaby Pride, along with the City of Burnaby, held an event outside of Burnaby City Hall where the Intersex Progress Pride flag was raised next to the British Columbia and Canada flags. The flag raising marks a week of celebration taking place 1 week before Burnaby's annual Pride Festival on July 26th. First to speak at the event was Burnaby City Councilor Daniel Tatro, who emphasized the city's support of Burnaby's queer community, as well as its stance against anti-2S LGBTQIA+ discrimination.
And also, just by being here today, you're showing your support. You're doing your part. And also, we're here to remember that Pride is also joyous and a vibrant celebration. And a reminder that we must continue to push back against bigotry, hatred, and discrimination. And again, not just today, but every day. In our community, our differences don't divide us. They are what make us special. And I'm honored to be here. I'm honored to show my support. And I'm thrilled to see you here as well.
This sentiment was echoed by other speakers at the event, including Aza Rojbi, a coordinator for Burnaby Pride.
One of the important things we have to continue talking about is Pride started as a protest. And it is continues to be a protest. We don't have to look very far to see our rights being challenged and taken away from us, whether that is in provinces nearby here in Canada or across the border in the United States or around the world. So we have to continue, as the speaker before me, the councillor said, fighting against bigotry, challenging bigotry. And it's important for people that live in Burnaby to see that reflected in their elected officials and here at City Hall.
Lastly, Vishad Deeplaw, the Senior Manager for Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion for the City of Burnaby, spoke on his personal experiences and how that led him to the City of Burnaby.
I've always looked to try and find that sense of belonging and where I felt I genuinely should be. Through my teens, growing up in South Africa, I was the obese kid, I was the kid of color, I was also the gay kid. And for the time that I grew up, it was not the best place to be. It has its challenges. Then when I wanted to marry my husband 22 years ago, we were told we could not get married because it was not legal. We then struggled to have a son, which we had to wait as well for laws to change for us to actually become parents. When we became parents, we had to fight with the idea of firstly, not getting parental leave because there's no maternal figure. At the same time, we had to fight for the fact that some schools didn't want our son in their schooling system. Later on, we immigrated for a better life for my son, which is 8 years ago. And if anybody else here are immigrants, you know, you're then also trying to fit in once again. You're trying to find your footing. You're trying to see where you belong. But I want to share that in 2022, I joined the City of Burnaby. Today, I can share that I have found my sense of belonging. From our mayor, council, our city leadership, colleagues, from across all departments, who I can also call friends, I feel seen.
At the end of the event, the Intersex Progress Pride flag was raised. Beginning this year's celebration of Pride in the City of Burnaby. This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby.
Something curious, something cultural, something unserious, sometimes serious, something mundane, something everyday. Though not even really that. Tune into Typically Tuesdays, airing every Monday. You heard that right, Monday. From 3 to 4 p.m. Your hour of quasi-cerebral talk and tunes.
And we are back with Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for the hour. And coming up, we have a piece out of Nanaimo from none other than Lauren McKenzie of CHLY. And this has to do with some longtime construction that has finally been completed within the commercial street of Nanaimo. I know, so exciting. And when I say that, there is not a hint of humor in my voice, because I really do mean that. I think pieces like this that explain the processes behind construction and I guess the celebration around it being finished are really important, and I think do a lot to explain to people, including myself, all that go into it. So without further ado, Lauren McKenzie from CHLY with her piece on Nanaimo's commercial street.
This is a CHLY news update. Commercial Street has unveiled a new look as the first phase of the downtown street upgrades come to a close. Phase 1 of the construction started in September of 2024, with parts of Commercial Street blocked off. Street side parking was temporarily reduced while businesses were still accessible via the sidewalks. The first of 5 phases, the construction spanned from Wharf Street to Church Street on upgrading the subsurface and streetscape of Commercial. This phase was scheduled to be completed by the end of May or early June of this year, but after some significant setbacks, including the discovery of a mine shaft underneath the Bastion and Commercial Street intersection, the timeline was pushed back. Now, on Thursday, July 24th, the City of Nanaimo is finally reopening the majority of the street, announcing the near completion of the first phase of the project. Downtown business owners, city staff, members of the Nanaimo City Council, and the local MLA all came together to drop the ballards, officially reopening the street for vehicle traffic.
From 3, 2, 1, ready? 3, 2, 1! There you go.
Mayor of Nanaimo Leonard Krogh told the crowd that this project's objective is to reestablish downtown as a destination and enhance the public space along the street for the public and retailers.
This is still a good place to be, a safe place to live, and a wonderful city that has its eye in the future with its respect for the past reflected in all that we do to preserve the history of this community, but reflected in the positive impact of all the investments that we as council and the City of Nanaimo are making on your behalves to make this and continue it to be the most wonderful downtown in British Columbia.
While some final touches still need to be completed on the surface area of the street, the new upgrades include new flush curbs, widened sidewalks, greenery, lighting elements, and upgraded underground infrastructure that was at the end of its life. Public artwork was also added to the area, including a new rainbow square featuring the rainbow and the colors of the Progressive Pride flag at the Commercial Street and Bastion Street intersection. Stephen Johns, with the Downtown Business Association and the owner of Red Shelf Decor, also spoke to the crowd, saying that the last 11 months of construction have been hard for downtown businesses.
But we're near the end of the marathon, and I ran a lot of marathons, and those last 500 meters are the hardest, and that's what we're running right now. Today is the finish line, and I think we have to remember that we're all human and everyone has done the best they can.
After the speeches, CHY spoke with Johns about the end of the construction, which he says is a long time coming.
I think the most exciting part is that we can just see the finish line and that businesses can get back to normal. Many businesses have thrived through this last year, and many have just survived. But I think the key is now we can put the negativity, the construction, the blue gates all behind us, and we can move on and we can embrace. We've got a summer that is one of the most beautiful summers we've ever had in West Canada.
As a business owner of one of the stores right in the middle of the construction, John says business can have ups and downs at any time, and the construction did add to hardships, but many stores came together to support each other during the time.
I think one thing I love about Nanaimo and I love about downtown is we've all stuck together. We haven't always agreed. There's been moments where some business owners, myself, we've disagreed, but we've been in it together. It's really felt great to be able to have open conversations with other businesses. There has been some negativity from outside people and outside sources, and you get that. You always get a little bit of that, and I think today there's no space for negative energy. This is just such a beautiful day, and it just looks so beautiful. So
he says the city of Nanaimo has been very supportive of the businesses downtown during the construction. John says he hopes these new upgrades will wow people who haven't been downtown in a while and will encourage more people to explore the neighborhood.
I'm going to say it's been a ride, but I'm so excited. I'm excited for tonight for the night market. I'm excited for tomorrow and the next day. It's only going to get better and better.
CHY also spoke with James Knight, Capital Project Management Specialist with the City of Nanaimo and Project Manager for the Design Commercial Street Project. He says it's an exciting day for the first phase of the construction to come to a close.
Very excited. I have always been a strong supporter of the project, which helps a lot when you're working on a project. So, you know, the goals of the project are very close to my heart. So I'm really, really excited. Really excited for the business owners that are down here that have been, you know, kind of weathering the inconveniences, to say the least, of construction. So I'm really happy to see them getting their street back and getting people back downtown. And I'm excited that we're nearly finished, and I think it looks fantastic. And
he says this construction has been a bit of a challenge, having to work with older infrastructure, which pushed back the end date of the project.
It's really hard to know what to expect when you're working at a road that's over 150 years old. I think this is one of the first streets that was built in Nanaimo, and so there are a lot of things that were not documented, so which we kind of expected, but we didn't really expect the extent that we found. And so, you know, we just had to work through things as they came up, and it was challenging, and it did extend our timelines, but they're dealt with now, and we don't have to worry about them in the near future anyway.
In his position, it was Knight's job to work and communicate with the downtown businesses. He says for the most part, the owners have been very supportive of the project.
Obviously, you know, with something like this, it doesn't always go as smoothly as it should. But I think overall, all the businesses have been very patient, very supportive, very respectful. And, you know, we've worked through it together. So
phase two of the project is scheduled to start in 2027, following the construction of the downtown transit exchange. For CHY News, this is Laura McKenzie.
This report was made with the support of the Local Journalism Initiative, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and listeners like you. You can find more news updates, interviews, and stories from our nonprofit newsroom, as well as our news and current affairs podcast, Midcoast Morning, at chly.ca/news.
Thank you again to CHLY and Laura McKenzie for that piece on the completed construction on Nanaimo's Commercial Street. It's a lovely place. If you haven't checked out the night market, you should this summer. It's I was able to go on its first night of this year because of the NCRA that was happening in Nanaimo. So it was a great time, and yeah, go check it out if you're able to. Anyways, coming up next, we've got another song from another group that has been steadily topping the charts of this radio station, CJSF, and that is none other than Empanadas Ilegales. I'm going to play a song from them by the name of Matador.
We'll be right back.
Once again, that was Matador by Empanadas Ilegales. Thank you all so much for tuning in to this hour of Speak Up. This has been Danny Nesvedarani. And coming up next, we've got, as always, Democracy Now!
Hey.